Hey humans, I'm Michael Liersch, and this is the About Money podcast series presented by Wells Fargo. I'm a behavioral scientist with a PhD in cognitive psychology who loves openly discussing money to help humans better understand their money behaviors. By understanding our money behaviors, we all have the opportunity to make better money decisions. In this episode, we have a very special guest with us, Kevin Jonas. You might know Kevin Jonas from his musical performances with his brothers, otherwise known as the award-winning Jonas Brothers. We're so excited to have Kevin on today because he'll help us answer the question, how do I take my experiences with money and communicate them with my family? We're thrilled to have Kevin with us, so let's get into it. So Kevin, I'm so excited to have you on the About Money podcast. I know a lot of our listeners can't wait to hear what you have to say, so I'm just going to get right into it, if that's okay, Kevin.
Let's do it. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. Excellent. So Kevin, a lot of people look at you as you are today and, you know, in your success, and they don't really reflect on who you were before they got to know you, Kevin, in the public eye. So can you tell us a little bit about money in your family growing up? Were you always wealthy? I mean, I know the answers to these questions.
Yeah. Answer to that question was no, we were not. We were in a family that grew up traveling job to job. You know, my dad, we started in New Jersey. My dad worked for, you know, the Assemblies of God here in New Jersey, the church. So we moved from wherever the next opportunity was, right? Went to Dallas, was the head of music over at Bible College. You know, four boys, one bedroom kind of thing growing up. There was a moment my parents, I don't necessarily remember it, but, you know, no insurance, no savings, like very much about paycheck to paycheck, humble beginnings. But one of the few things that we did do was my parents spent money on our passions, which was really cool. They gave us so much because of that. They really invested in us. I think that was a true testament to who we are now today and how we view money and how we view our lives at home with our families. But back in the day, we did not come from much.
So when you think about how that has caused you to behave with money, either today or, you know, as you were emerging in terms of starting to make more money, what did that experience help inform? And think of it as some insights you'd provide to our listeners in terms of how they could be thinking about money and using it very intentionally in some of the ways you just alluded to.
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't realize, but we actually looked from an early age, we had some truly great help around us. People that were much wiser than us, worked with a lot of other artists before, made a lot of mistakes too, and just tried to learn from them. But one of the things that we did early on was we looked at the Jonas Brothers as a startup, right? Like we started in the garage, like a lot of tech companies, and we were making music. That was our product. And okay, we need to get the product out there. Well, we need to get an investor. Well, that investor, we needed capital to be able to do that. So we got signed to a record label. Yes, we got that opportunity, but it's very similar to receiving capital from that in that regard. Someone was going to back us, right? And put up that money and go from there. Isn't always going to work. It is a risk. But before we could ever do that, we had to prove almost to ourselves and to others that we could grind it out. You know, we had to make tough financial decisions early in our career. We would take a van around, you know, from all around the Northeast, but we would drive all the way to Boston for a concert and then drive all the way back to New Jersey same day because it was cheaper to put us all in the van and pay for the gas than it was to hotel rooms. So it's about making budgeted decisions and staying within those parameters that we could do more shows, but it was tough on us, right? And having those decisions to be made was difficult, but then going back to my analogy of as the startup, we also then started to realize that what kind of products can we offshoot and what kind of things can we grow our business? How can we continue to do that? And we always looked at ourselves as a startup in that regard. And because we are a publicly facing company in a way, right? Our stock is one, our goodwill, our music and our other things that we do, but are people actually buying into it? And when they stop buying, how do we adjust?
So when you think about then that level of intentionality, which you're describing, you know, the budgeting, ensuring that your brand and your identity are all very consistent with what you're trying to accomplish in that public, let's say, life. How do you take those lessons to your own family now, Kevin, and communicate it? And if you could just tell our listeners a little bit how you talk about it in your family so that you all stay on track, because I can imagine it's difficult to keep that same perspective that you had in the beginning now.
It is. It's definitely difficult, right? But there are ways we do it. And one of the ways we do that is we actually budget with our kids early. We actually do that, which is really cool. So there are great resources out there. But for us, we do the chores and the allowance idea. And we've taught them about saving. Our oldest daughter, she saves her money and puts that money aside and does the right thing to buy the thing she wanted, right? She worked so hard and she had good money in a sense from her birthday, from things, and she saved and saved and saved so she could buy the one big thing she wanted. And as a reward for that, with her doing that, I purchased it for her because she worked so hard. I rewarded her with that so that she could feel like now she accomplished something. Yes, she got the resolve, which she wanted, but then she had the extra cash. And so for me, I know that's a simple thing. And maybe everyone's like on the thing, but like, no, you should let her just buy it, but and really teach her the lesson. But like the lesson really isn't about the spending. It's about the fact that she had the ability to put her head down and focus and do the task, which is actually to keep the money without spending it.
So I love that.
It hit her goal, rather.
I love that, Kevin, because to your point, there's an objective. She saved toward it. And then when you came in and you provided that reward, oftentimes we describe to parents, which you did intuitively, and I don't know if this was intentional, but sometimes when you have a job in a corporation, you can invest in something called a 401k, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Contribution plan. And so you're kind of matching, you know, her.
That's exactly kind of what I was doing. I was kind of matching her goal, right? And without her knowing, I never said I was going to do that. But for me as a parent, it was rewarding to see that she accomplished the goal she set for herself. And I wanted to, you know, in a way reward her for that. But it's really nice. And I think we do simple things like that. We do a lot of the stuff we do with charity and other things as well. Giving back is important to us, you know, the donation side of it all. We want to instill that in our children and in our marriage and what we do on a financial aspect. But I think honestly, having long-term goals, and sitting down and talking about them, like, okay, you know, whether, and this is not what we're doing, but I'm just saying as an example, we would like a vacation home, right? Maybe one day in a certain point in someone's career. And like, I would love to have a secondary home that we could, yes, one, rent out, one, two, whatever it may be. But what are the goals to get there? What do we have to set aside? What do we have to do? Whether it's that, what?
Or driving the van and not staying at a hotel, right?
Exactly,
and not flying on a plane.
Days, yep. It's these days, it's like, okay, we just want to go on vacation. Like, what does it take to get to that goal? And sometimes it does take putting your head down. And when I say doing the work, I mean, really putting the money aside and really acting on a budget, you know, and it's not always easy. And I think the problem with what happens is more than ever, I actually started to put money aside for my family for the surprise. I think everyone talks about it, but there's always surprise bills. No matter who you are, the bills keep coming. Right. And there's always once in a while a surprise. Something breaks in a home, something the rent goes up. There's your return is not what you expected. Right. Your tax return is not what you expected it was going to be. A million things could happen. And it's about preparing for those surprises, I think, in life that have supported me long term, because I've been able to say if there was a total dead stop, which there was in my life at one point, which I went from having significant, you know, consistent income to zero. Okay, am I done? I'm only 26, 27, right? Like, oh God, what now, right? Yeah. Like, what do I do now? And luckily, I've been able to, you know, I was instilled with my parents, which they invested in us pretty much our entire college, their college savings for us in our band when we were young. They're like, look, guys, we either continue this or you go to college, pick one. We're like, this is our path. You know, we're like, we will get jobs and go to community school if we have to, but this is what we want in our life. And we knew that, and not everyone does. So I understand that I'm coming from a different perspective, but there is something to be said about being happy in where your job is. If you find joy or reward in that moment, if you find fulfillment it does allow for the work to be less work and more opportunity.
I love that, Kevin. And so to close us out, honestly, it's such sage advice. We call what you just talked about in dorky behavioral science terms, job crafting.
Right.
Always move the job toward what gives you the most passion and purpose while making money. To your point on saving for a rainy day, or making sure you have money for a rainy day, or the contingency planning, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure you have that in mind. So as you think about, to close this out, as you think about the top thing you'd suggest that all our listeners do after listening to this, what would that, and I know that's always tough to do, and I want everyone to know, Kevin and I didn't prepare for this, so I'm putting him on the spot here. What would you say your top suggestion to our listeners who are of all ages and areas of life, Kevin? What should they be doing?
Actually putting their money to work for them, you know, honestly, and even this, the littlest amount into an investment fund is going to reward you something long-term. And not thinking about it like you're expecting it to have a return the next week. Think about every time you put a dollar into that account, you're not looking at it for another 10 years. You know, that's the goal, you know, and having that ability to have that extra income to do that is difficult, but don't buy the coffee, put it into the account. You know, like the littlest change can change behavioral activities. And the longer you do that, the farther you do that, the better off you're going to be.
Well, Kevin, if you ever want to switch careers, you can be the head of advice and planning, I think, at Wells Fargo.
I will tell you. They didn't tell you this is my application for the job.
But I am so grateful. And I know our listeners are grateful for the time you spent with us today. And I really wish you all the best. And again, so grateful for all that you're doing for the community and to entertain people, and also all the passion and purpose you put into everything you do. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of the About Money podcast. Please email us with the topics that you would like us to address at aboutmoney@wellsfargo.com. And if you really like the episode, share it with family, friends, and anyone who listens to podcasts. About Money is produced by Wells Fargo. You can learn more about ways to work with us at wellsfargo.com/aboutmoney. I'm Michael Liersch, asking you to talk about money today.
Kevin Jonas participated in this podcast as part of a paid endorsement by Wells Fargo in support of the Wallet Fund campaign. This information is provided for educational and illustrative purposes only. Investment and insurance products are not insured by the FDIC or any federal government agency, are not a deposit or other obligation of or guaranteed by the bank or any bank affiliate, and are subject to investment risks, including possible loss of the principal amount invested. Wells Fargo Private Bank provides products and services through Wells Fargo Bank N.A. and its various affiliates and subsidiaries. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. is a bank affiliate of Wells Fargo & Company. Wealth and Investment Management offers financial products and services through bank and brokerage affiliates of Wells Fargo & Company. Bank products and services are available through Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC. Brokerage products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, a trade name used by Wells Fargo Clearing Services, LLC, and Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, LLC. Members SIPC, separate registered broker-dealers, and non-bank affiliates of Wells Fargo & Company. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. offers various advisory and fiduciary products and services, including discretionary portfolio management. Wells Fargo affiliates, including financial advisors of Wells Fargo Advisors, a separate non-bank affiliate, may be paid an ongoing or a one-time referral fee in relation to clients referred to the bank. The bank is responsible for the day-to-day management of the account and for providing investment advice, investment and management services, and wealth management services to clients. The role of the financial advisor with respect to bank products and services is limited to referral and relationship management services. Wealth and Investment Management offers financial products and services through affiliates of Wells Fargo & Company. Copyright 2022 Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved. NMLS RID 399801. Equal Housing Lender.